There was a man that the Bible calls the steward of God's house by the name of Shebna. He was a steward of God's house. Now, what's interesting is that his name actually means vigor, which means his name means he's strong, right? But God gave him stewardship over the house, and he abused it. He didn't use it properly. And the Lord said, because you've done this, I'm going to shift what I put in your hands into somebody else's hands. So then the Lord called his servant. This is in verse 20. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. And Eliakim literally means God sets it up, or God raises it up, raised up by God, or God has set you up. Anybody ready for a set up from God? I'm ready for that myself. So I'm going to call Eliakim the son of Hilkiah. And Hilkiah's name, interesting, means Jehovah is my portion. So I am going to call God sets up the son of God, of Jehovah is my portion, and I will clothe him with your robe. I'm going to take your robe and put it on him. I will strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hands. He shall be the father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders, so that he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. Now, this is the thing you need to understand. Every time you see this, or almost every time that you hear this key of David mentioned, it tells you what it does. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is, but it tells you what it does. It opens something that no one can shut, and it shuts something that no one can open. So in this particular case, he says, because you have not stewarded the gift that I place in your life, I'm going to shift. Somebody say shift. I'm going to shift the atmosphere and put that robe on someone else. I'm going to put that gift on someone else, and I'm going to give them something that you didn't have because you didn't steward well. I'm going to give them the key of David to open things that no one can shut and to shut things that no one can open. Now, as we get into this tonight, you're going to figure out what he is opening and what he is shutting. So I want you to see that. And then let's get into the book of Revelation real quick. And I want to show you this. This one of these scriptures is on the screen. Verse 7 is on the screen. But I also want to read verse 12 to you as well. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and who shuts and no one opens. All right, because this is so important, I want you to make sure you get this in your spirit. And if you're writing down, and by the way, this is a good night to take notes, because you are never going to remember everything I'm going to say. I mean, you're just going to have to write as fast as you can. So you'll have a cramp when you leave tonight. The angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one's open. Now understand this. This is the only time in the seven letters of the seven churches that the key of David is mentioned. But also along with that, listen to what else he says in verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Now, this is interesting because it's the only promise of the seven churches, of the letters of the seven churches. Notice it's to the church of Philadelphia, which means love or brotherly love. He says, I'm going to open up a door for you, because if you read the whole text there about the church of Philadelphia, they have an open door before them. And if you walk through this door, you'll get the key of David in your hand, and you will become a pillar. You will be one of those that is a pillar, not just anywhere, in the temple, a pillar in the temple. And notice what he says about this pillar in the temple, and he shall go out no more. Now, that's interesting because he's shutting a door and opening a door, but once he has the key of David in his hand, he becomes a pillar and he doesn't have to move anymore. After this moment, he becomes a stationary pillar in the temple of the Lord. Now, all of this is going to make sense a little bit later as we go through this lesson together. So what is the key of David? What we know so far is what it does. It opens something that no one can shut, and it shuts something that no one can open. But to understand what the key of David actually is, you got to go back to the beginning of the story. And the beginning of the story doesn't start with David. It actually starts with Moses. So we're going to go all the way back into the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, and we're going to see how God began to build something so that he could dwell upon this earth, and how David becomes the new steward, just like Eliakim. David becomes the new steward of what God had given to Moses because they had let it die. All right, so the tabernacle of Moses is a structure that probably everyone is familiar with. Now, Perry has actually built, you know, all the replicas on the stage. But here's something that may surprise you. The tabernacle of Moses was only 15 feet wide. So think about this. Between here and the front of the stage, that's how wide the whole thing was. And it was only 45 feet long, which means you could put the entire tabernacle of Moses on this stage almost two times. This stage is 78 feet long. It's 76 feet long, and it's 28 feet deep. All right, so that's what this stage is, which means if I'm 15 feet from here, I could actually almost put two tabernacles of Moses on this stage. So sometimes when you think about it, you think it's this huge, grand tent. But you got to remember that they're carrying this thing through the wilderness. And it's 15 feet tall. So think about a tent that is 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall, and 45 feet long. Now here's the interesting thing. There are no nails in it. It has not been nailed together. It's not a wooden structure. There are no bricks in it. It is literally posts that are set into sockets and kind of put together almost like a puzzle. So what I know about this is that when the wind blows, it sways. Have you ever been in a tent when the wind's blowing? Not so fun, is it? Especially if it's raining on top of that or storming outside. So this tabernacle is out in the wilderness, and this is where God has placed his presence. But every time there's a windstorm, this beautiful tapestry, this tabernacle that's got overlaid gold posts sitting in silver sockets and silver hooks, and it's made of curtains. So there's no wooden walls, there's no block walls. Everything is made of curtain, embroidered curtain. So when the wind blows, it is just swaying out there in the desert. And this is the place where God chose to dwell. 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall, not that sturdy, very shakable in a windstorm, and God said, but I'll put my presence there.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
God's presence turns something ordinary into a holy, sacred place. God's presence turned a tent into the temple that is like the one in heaven. God's presence did that. God coming down into that little tent changed what was just handmade tent pieces carved by artisans, and we can make it as elaborate as we want to in our minds, but we're in the middle of the desert. We're crocheting and embroidering this stuff together, and we're fitting it together like a puzzle, and it's can sway. We know that's all possible, but yet God dwells there. Now, 400 years later, think about that. Now, the United States of America is a little over 200 years old. Now, think about that. We're only, the United States of America is a little over 200 years old. 400 years later, that means twice as old as the United States of America. Twice as old as the United States of America. 400 years later, they're still using this tent. Now you think about that. They are still using this tent 400 years later, and for 40 of those years, it was taken down, put back up, taken down, put back up. Now, somebody that's ever done that before, tell me what happens to all your sockets every time you take it apart and you put it back together, and it gets more and more wobbly. So if they had put it together one time and staked it down with pegs, maybe, you know, in years it would have been more sturdy. But no, for 40 years, take it apart, carry it, put it back together. Take it apart, carry it, put it back together. 40 years. So now David is on the throne, and this tabernacle has been used now for 440 years. 440 years. Now, the tabernacle of Moses, even though it's David is in Jerusalem, but the tabernacle of Moses had been sent to Gibeon. Now, Gibeon is a royal city with a real high peak, and they put this tabernacle at the highest peak of Gibeon. So they call it a high place, and they would go there and worship. But one of the problems with this is that even though it looked like a spectacular place where God should be visited, there was something missing in the tabernacle. Because Samuel the prophet declared war on the Philistines and said, I'm going to take the Ark of the Covenant with me to battle and we'll surely win. Here's the problem. God never said, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. Samuel wanted to do that because he wanted to be a war hero and win the battle. So he doesn't ask God. He takes the Ark of the Covenant out there before them. They lose the battle, and the Philistines, for the first time ever, have the Ark of the Covenant. And they've taken it into one of their temples and set it up by their god, Dagon. Now what's interesting is the first day they set it up, so the Ark is no longer there in Gibeon. It's missing. They are doing all the rituals, but the Ark is no longer there. And the problem is when they captured it, they set it up in their temple next to Dagon. And the next morning, the statue of Dagon had fallen over as to bow in front of the Ark. Now, it hadn't been there very long. It's only been there, you know, a few days. And so what do? They set their god back up on his feet again. I don't need a god that I have to set back up on his feet again. They set him back up on his feet again, and the Lord says, oh, I'll show you. The next morning they come in, and God cut off his head and cut off his hands, and he's laying there in pieces the next day. And this is the god of the Philistines, and they don't know what to do. They're afraid of the Ark. Now, they're afraid to touch it because it has overthrown their god, and they know that no one has done this. The Lord decapitated Dagon. That's why I don't understand all these people worried about, you know, what they're bringing in the house all the time. Man, you bring it in my house, it's going to get holy. Because I promise you, if there's anything wrong with it, God's going to cut his head off and his hands off and his feet off. Because I pray over my house, I anoint my house. And so I'm not one of those people that's always scared about, you're going to bring that into my house. No, I know what's in my house. The Holy Ghost is in my house. I know what's in my house. The angels of the Lord are in my house. I'm not going to live my life giving the devil more credit than he deserves. I'm just not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I believe whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I believe if the demons get near the ark will cut its head off and make it bow. That's just my stance on those things.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.